Last week, filmmaker Sam Muirhead announced that for the next year, he would be living without everyday luxuries like shopping malls, Hollywood movies, iTunes. He marked the occasion with a bottle of homemade champagne. The purpose? Well, Muirhead has decided to make his life open source, meaning that he will avoid buying all copyrighted materials. Now, he is calling it the Year of Open Source, and it will affect everything from the socks he wears to the beer he drinks. Sam Muirhead joins us now from our BBC studios in Berlin. Hello there, Sam.
Hi.
Give us a clue, first of all, what is an open source life? I understand it as free programs that I can find online, but I don't understand it as applied to an entire life.
Yes, exactly. The idea of open source is something that's quite well established within software, but is only just starting to make waves in other areas of the world. So the core idea of open source is basically that there is transparency within a product, so you know how it's made. You have the freedom to modify it, to do whatever you want with it, for whatever uses you may have. And there's also an idea of collaboration as well, that users are able to kind of suggest changes, to make changes themselves, and to basically help out in research and development. And so when taking this idea to other areas of life, this whole structure is based on a framework of a licensing system, which is not so much without copyright, but the copyright protects the commons. It basically means that an idea stays within the commons and can't be held on to somebody. It can't be held on by one particular business or one particular owner. It's open for anybody to use. And so people are now starting to make all sorts of different physical products with this. So you've got people making tractors, making cars, and they're basically doing this, presenting their method online. They're allowing other people to get involved, to suggest changes, say, maybe you should make this change, maybe you should change the motor in this way, things like that. And so there's a whole community based around these products.
What did you have for breakfast?
For breakfast today, I had homemade muesli. So I basically set myself a base level of basic products in terms of basic food products. If they've only got kind of one ingredient, I can eat them as long as that food doesn't have any kind of intellectual property in terms of patented seed types and things like that. You have things like Monsanto seeds, which is a huge amount of the corn, the cotton, the wheat that people use around the world. Many of this does contain patented products in terms of the processes used to manufacture those seeds. That has been patented. Only Monsanto is able to make those particular seeds, so I can't have any of that.
Sam, this is exhausting. This is just your muesli for breakfast. I mean, I'm not even going to the spoon, the cutlery, the kitchen you were sitting in. Why on earth would you want to do this for a whole year?
Basically because I've been very interested in this idea of open source for a very long time. But when I try and talk to people about it, they have no idea what I'm talking about. It's something that's quite unusual. It's quite different from the way that products are made, that we consume things. And so I really wanted to show kind of how much this idea has developed since its start within kind of software like Linux and Firefox, and kind of use this as a way to show just the amazing breadth of different ideas that people are coming up with. So basically, if I just found an open source spinner today. If I want to spin my own yarn, I can do that on an open source machine. And then there are also kind of knitting machines that people have hacked to put their own programs on and things. So I can kind of even make the core of my own clothes using open source techniques. And this is all based on people kind of sharing technology and collaborating together.
I see certain challenges with your documentation of the open source models that you're finding, because you've got to document it somewhere, and I'm assuming that somewhere is on a computer, which is probably copyrighted, right?
Yes, absolutely. There's coming to this from a non-technical background, so that's one of the key aspects of this is basically being able to have the audience learn as I do, as I find out more about it. And so I'm a Mac user, and so I need to change, basically I've already changed the software, and I'm going to be looking into ways to change the actual hardware as the year progresses as well. So basically seeing what kind of a computer I can put together with some very, very basic open source CPUs and things like that to be able to at least drag a few pixels across the screen and make some kind of basic video editing software. So the idea is just to show kind of how far open source production has got. It might not be particularly far necessarily in some areas. Some areas are definitely lagging behind, and there I'm going to look pretty ridiculous, but I'm okay with that.
It's not all about successful documentation. You're going to fail at some things, and you're going to tell us about that too. So what kind of things do you think will be the biggest challenge in terms of trying to find an open source alternative?
Well, there's all sorts of things, but as you say, this is not just propaganda. I really want to test this theory, see if this open source idea can spread to other areas. And so, for example, me as a movie nerd, it's going to be a bit of a struggle not going to the movies all year. And this is also kind of I'm not saying that other people should live 100% open source. I'm saying it's a very interesting idea. It's something that people should consider. People should think about the process and how it works in different areas, but it doesn't necessarily fit absolutely everywhere.
You started on August the 1st. You've had a couple of weeks of this already. How's it been going?
It's been going okay. First of all, I've been meeting amazing people. I mean, I'm living in Berlin, which is an absolute hub of this kind of movement. I mean, open source is something that can and does happen around the world, and you can contribute to a project from anywhere. Basically, if you have a crazy idea, you can send it to somebody who's working on a project elsewhere and help them out and things like that. But here in Berlin, you've got an amazing collection of artists, of makers, of hackers and people like that who are just doing incredible work. So I've already been in contact with all sorts of different people. I've got been meeting up with some people who are doing basically open source internet network. There's a mesh network where every single kind of component, every router and smartphone is also kind of sending data to others. Everyone's piggybacking on each other's systems. And this is kind of already up and running here in Berlin. So there's all sorts of kind of amazing projects I had no idea about, which I'm discovering.
Sam, you're not trying to do this by yourself. That would be a mammoth task. If people are interested in sending you their open source ideas, what do they do?
Basically come to my website, yearofopensource.net, and just setting up a wiki at the moment so people can kind of look at the various different aspects of my life and suggest ideas, how it can change, where it can kind of be improved. So just come to that website and you'll find everything there.
Sam Muirhead, filmmaker who on August the 1st began a year of using only open source products. Good luck, Sam.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.